That Amon-Ra landing spot, that was the one where we were like, it's going to be ugly, but this is how he turns into Jarvis Landry. Like, this is how it happens.
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to go through some draft, NFL draft, day one recap is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, man?
Dude, the things happened. No more speculation. No more what-ifs and who's going where. Like, we have players on teams. I can't wait to talk about the 11th pick of the NFL draft.
Dude, we got landing spots, we got guys in places, we got things going on, man. And now, like you're talking about, now we get to look at where these guys landed, break down all of this, and discuss how we feel about it, Adam.
I want to shout out everybody at FTN because the draft coverage was awesome. I mean, yourself, Jeff, Meany, Elliot, Brad on the show, that was incredible. The producers of the shows, they always do an incredible job. And then Kalachi with everything he does behind the scenes. Daniel Kelly and Tyler Lochner were helping me with the blurbs all throughout the first couple rounds, so that was awesome. Social media team was awesome. Like, it was a home run, so that was so fun. All the coverage and all the stuff we did, so I wanted to shout out everybody that contributed to that, for sure.
Dude, it was fantastic. I mean, look, the proof is in the pudding. The numbers speak for themselves, Adam. We had over 50,000 views of the NFL draft stream for day one and day two. That's crazy, man. And that only speaks to the product and all of the hard work for everybody putting into all of this,
and
dude.
I feel
it
like
was awesome.
I feel like 45,000 of them were from Brad's reaction to Justin Fields and your reaction to Trey Sermon.
Dude, it went off, man. We went nuts. I mean, look. Brad was, like, trying to grab the tequila bottle. He was like, all right, you know, I'm just going to drown my sorrows. Maybe the Bears trade up, and the Bears don't look like they're doing anything. And then all of a sudden, the Bears come up the board, and here goes Justin Fields, baby. Let's dive into it, man. Let's kick it off there. Justin Fields to the Chicago Bears. For as much and as long as we've shit all over Nagy and Pace and talked so much trash about all the things that they have and haven't done, this was the makeup pick, man. This was it. They got him. This is a fantastic landing spot, man. And we can talk about it. Allen Robinson finally gets a quarterback. Hallelujah.
First of all, Denver, what are you doing? I have no idea why you passed on Justin Fields. I don't care that you just traded for Teddy Bridgewater. And then I also thought that who picked eight? Why am I forgetting who picked eight? Whatever. Whoever picked
Panthers.
Eight.
Panthers.
That's right.
They
went
J.C. Horn.
Yeah, I still would have taken Justin Fields there, too. I know you just got Sam Darnold, but the Bears did what they should have done. Like, they traded up a lot to go get him, but you could make the case this is, like, has a chance to be the best quarterback they've ever had. It's
and that wasn't much of a pay-up, dude, either. Like, that draft cost to move up there.
For your franchise quarterback, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, it's different if you're trading all of that up for really any other position in the NFL, but a quarterback where you haven't had one in years. Andy Dalton is apparently still going to start, and they're gonna ease Justin Fields along. I buy that 0%.
None.
I don't know if there's, like, you can find, you know, betting odds for this or lines, but I would be very, 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 very willing to bet that Justin Fields enters the season as a starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And if that's the case, we don't talk about it for fantasy. I mean, he's obviously going to be good for Allen Robinson, but he's going to be good in fantasy because he's really good at football. Like, we know he's going to run, but he was insanely accurate in college. He's going to have one of the best receivers in the NFL who gets open and catches almost everything. So this is, like, we didn't have this on our radar too much because we assumed Justin Fields would be gone and Chicago picked 20th. So we weren't really, you know, planning for a trade up. So we were thinking of, like, you know, Carolina, Denver, San Francisco, but Is Chicago as exciting as an offense potentially in terms of system as San Francisco or Carolina? No, but he also has a very high chance to start in these on this team, whereas San Francisco, he definitely would battle it out, and same with probably Carolina and Denver. So I think he has the best chance to start in Chicago than the other teams. And like I said, I don't buy that Andy Dalton's going to start, like unless Justin Fields just somehow isn't ready at all. But I think Justin Fields will be ready come week one.
Well, dude, and the other thing about this, his deep ball accuracy, I know people are going to talk about Allen Robinson, people are going to fight over David Montgomery. This makes Darnell Mooney so freaking enticing in the later rounds of your drafts. Like, I want some Darnell Mooney this year, but your thoughts there?
I mean, they're going to trade Anthony Miller eventually, right? Like, they've been talking about it for months now, so...
They don't have to trade him! He's buried on the depth chart! Yeah, it doesn't even matter!
He's just not going to play. I'm so excited that Justin Fields... If the Bills don't win the Super Bowl, I kind of hope the Bears do. Just for the Justin Fields aspect.
Dude, I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. If Aaron Rodgers leaves out in the NFC North, which, that's another hour-long discussion. If he leaves... The Bears are a quiet team to sit here and take the NFC North. Like, they could be vastly, vastly improved by Justin Fields landing there. We've seen what rookie quarterbacks can transform franchises, and Justin Fields is absolutely that,
I mean,
man.
But if Rodgers is gone, Green Bay is a 6-win team.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely, dude. And Jordan Love looks like Drew Locke. So, moving on, man, before we dive too far into Green Bay territory and we never leave. Jalen Waddle landing with the Miami Dolphins. I talked about this on the NFL draft stream, man. This is another feather in the cap for Tua. Like, the amount of upgrade that this is, and I don't know, like, Jalen Waddle, he's going to have to fight for targets in year one. This is not such a boon for him in redraft. Maybe, I mean, we're still going to be talking about him in DFS. I think it's perfectly fine for Dynasty because Devontae Parker is still aging. Will Fuller's on a one-year deal. But I feel like the Jalen Waddle landing in Miami is best for Tua. Like, we could see some ceiling weeks, Adam. We could see this offense look absolutely and totally different than it was last year. They added to the offensive line. You get Jalen Waddle. Now Tua is going to stare down the field and look at Jalen Waddle, Devontae Parker, and Will Fuller. As opposed to last year, you had Devontae Parker, who was a shell of himself, Jakeem Grant, Lynn Bowden, like, what are we talking, Mac Hollins, what are we talking about here, man? I love this for Tua.
You have to. I mean, I don't know how many times we talked about it in the offseason, but Tua in college was obviously at his best with, you know, talented players running free, and that wasn't the case last year. I talked about it, I don't know, 742 times about how Miami had two of the worst players in terms of separation in the NFL last year. One of them was Devontae Parker. And Preston Williams, if he qualified, probably would have been in that bottom 10 range as well. And now you add Will Fuller, you add Jalen Waddle, speed for days, but they also, they're not just deep threats. Tua's going to be more, you know, prepared, knowing he's the starter all offseason and everything like that. So Tua's definitely interesting quarterback in you know, those super flex leagues. Probably the position is still too deep in one quarterback leagues to come out of your draft with just Tua, obviously, but... definitely in two quarterback leagues. As for Waddle, I think he's going to have his, like you said, he's going to have his boom weeks. I could see his rookie season being very similar to Marquise Brown's. Remember Marquise Brown in the beginning of his rookie season was going crazy, and everybody, you know, spent everything in fab to get him, and he wasn't just, you know, completely awful, but he was definitely not consistent. And it's not going to be the same offense, obviously, that Baltimore is, but they have a lot of players in that offense to throw the ball to. I still think Myles Gaskin, who we'll talk about in the veteran winners and losers podcast, is going to catch a good amount of passes. But yeah, this is obviously Miami saying Tua's our guy. Let's build around him and let's see what he can do in his full season as a starter.
I love it, man. And the other thing about it is Jalen Waddle, his ADP is not going to creep up. I mean, I think that he's a fantastic late round guy. Even if he gets into the 9-10 rounds, like 9th or 10th round, I still think he's going to be fine there. Because the other thing about it, Adam, is that, like, we've seen the Devontae Parker show. We've seen it in enough years to know that, like, is Devontae Parker going to perfectly stay healthy the entire season? And if that doesn't happen, you have Jalen Waddle right next to Will Fuller, and they're just running streaks for days, dude. So his target share would automatically go up. Moving over to another Alabama receiver, Devonta Smith. Eagles trade up, land him, and now he's paired with Jalen Hurts. Love this landing spot, dude. I know a lot of people are not going to be as high on it, possibly. And a lot of that is just people confirming their priors about, like, oh, Jalen Hurts isn't a good passer and stuff. Dude, if you go back to college and you look at all different metrics, all different areas of the field, he was fantastic. He was thrown in with very little preparation on short notice to Philly. That team overall was a damn mess. He was basically chucking it deep on most of the plays. You look at his yards per attempt, they were through the roof. We are going to see a different Philly offense this year. I like this landing spot for Devonta Smith, man. I think he could rival Ja'Marr Chase for the most targets among any of these rookies.
Yep.
And people might not want to hear that, man, but like, I think he could legit get 120 targets this year. Like, that can happen, and he could be the most productive rookie to walk out of the 2021 season.
I tweeted that when he got drafted. I said there's a very good chance that Devonta Smith leads all rookie receivers in targets. I really think it's possible. And then somebody said, like, yeah, we said that about Jalen Reagor last year. Jalen Reagor missed five games, first of all. Second of all, he was never anywhere close to the prospect that Devonta Smith is. So, and third of all, like, Carson Wentz was awful last year. So I do like Devonta Smith. I started my 2021 rankings over the weekend, but I didn't get to the rookies yet. I would probably guess that Devonta Smith is my wide receiver two among the rookies. I would still rank Chase higher just because he has a higher ceiling, I think. But I 100% agree that Devonta Smith could easily lead all rookie receivers and targets this season, especially if/when Zach Ertz is playing for another team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that he's going to command the target share. I just think that Zach Ertz is dust. I'm not even worried about Ertz. I think Ertz is more of a problem for Dallas Goedert than anybody and running underneath routes. I think Devonta Smith is going to come in day one, be the dude. And if anybody wants to just keep confirming priors and talk about how skinny he is and fade him off of whatever the hell else, I'm just going to have a lot of Devonta Smith this year.
Yeah, I do like him quite a bit. So, the Eagles traded up to get him. They gave up a third-round pick to move up, two spots to get him?
Yep. So They hopped the Giants, man. Yeah, I think that was very Giants, telling.
That was one of the more fun storylines of the draft. Like, Giants fans were, like, livid. Dallas got absolutely screwed by the way the draft fell because the corners all went before them. So they were like, all right, we're going to take Micah Parsons at 10, but we can take him at 12. So they traded with the Eagles of all teams. It was really interesting how that 10 through 12 played out. And the Giants, we'll talk about, I think, next, they had to pivot.
You could say they pivoted. You could say they got brain freeze. You could say they got brain fart. You could say they just crapped their pants. They went with Kadarius Toney, 20th overall. I know you are a massive Kadarius Toney guy. I'm not going to hate on him. My whole problem with it is, one, fit for the offense. Where did you need him? Like, for me, this spells probably the death of Darius Slayton, because I don't think they're going to put Toney in the slot and then ask Shepard again to play on the outside. I think that Tony's going to be put on the outside, and I could be wrong with that. I could be reading the tea leaves wrong, man, but I feel like this is a reach. I feel like Gettleman made a good move in trading back, and then he crapped his pants at 20. I think it was just like, they took Devonta Smith. I don't know what else to do. He was number one on the board. Do we even have a two? Is there a two? Is there a two? Check the Rolodex. Is there a two? Do we have a wide receiver two in the Rolodex? There's no wide receiver two? What? What do you mean there's a wide receiver two? Kadarius Toney, get the card in. We're going to run out of time. Go! Go! Okay. Draft picks in. Wait, oh my God, what did we do? What did we do?
And I think a lot of people are saying the same thing, but for me, it shouldn't be about the player. I think Kadarius Toney's a great player. I agree. I don't know if they needed to go receiver. Like maybe they are worried about...
You and I talked about it, dude! Like, Quiddy Pay is sitting on the board! Mm-hmm. How?
Yeah, like, maybe they are worried about Sterling Shepard concussion history or something like that. Maybe they're moving on from Slayton, but it just didn't feel like a necessary pick for the Giants. And I was pissed about it because for fantasy, I was obviously really interested in Tony because I like him a lot as a player. But, like, barring injuries, like, I just don't see how he's going to have a consistent role in this offense to be really good in fantasy right away. And it sucks because, I love him as a player. I think he's – a lot of people think he's a gadget player in the NFL. I disagree. But I don't know if we're going to see him fully utilized in this offense with Kenny Galladay, a healthy Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph, and Darius Slayton.
I'm not giggling at your take. What I'm giggling at is the idea of how... I'm eventually going to get this out. We talked about it pre-draft, Adam, and we wanted Kadarius Toney to go to a place with a sharp offensive play caller.
Yeah.
It's Jason Garrett! It's Jason Garrett! I mean, like... No, man! Like, what are we doing? I'm so worried about Tony, dude. Like, if you're not worried about, like, okay, all the other receiving options, target share, Daniel Jones, however you want to, Kenny Galladay, however you want to slice this up, then woohoo, you got to be worried about Jason Garrett, right?
Maybe he just breaks out and plays more than, I don't see how he plays more than Shepard. And with Galladay there, like, Shepard has always been a slot receiver, but in times with the Giants due to injuries or whatever, he would have to play out wide, and he was way less efficient, so he's not playing out wide. So it's like, does Tony just take Slayton? I mean, they get 20th overall selection for Kadarius Tony. Like, he better play, or the pick looks even worse, potentially. I obviously wish he landed somewhere else. And by the way, in case you're wondering why we haven't talked about Trevor Lawrence or Kyle Pitts or Zach Wilson, those picks we pretty much knew were going to happen. We've talked about that in the offseason ad nauseum. So, and like, what else do we need to say, right? We talked about the Jacksonville receivers and how they'll be impacted positively by Trevor Lawrence. We've talked about Zach Wilson to the Jets. Those two picks have been locks. Kyle Pitts to Atlanta has been a lock for a couple weeks now. Same with Jamar Chase to Cincinnati. So we're not really going to waste time talking about those landing spots in case you're wondering why we haven't mentioned them. That's why.
Yeah, and the other thing about it, if you want to hear our Jamar Chase take, go back and listen to the Dynasty Stock Market episode. We talked about all the Cincinnati wide receivers and if he landed there before the draft. So we were already kind of pegging that as a possibility. Go check that out. You'll hear our analysis on Jamar Chase there. Moving on, dude. The betting market moved heavy to this. I was on stream and I was like, look, I can see it. I can also see them going offensive line, man. The Steelers did it. They went Najee Harris. Your thoughts on him in the first round? Because I know we have offensive line concerns.
He's going to get so much damn volume.
It doesn't matter.
I know it's an expression. I legitimately could not care less about the offensive line because Najee Harris is immediately going to step into, at worst, 17 to 20 touches a game. We know Pittsburgh likes to use one running back. It's the same coach for years who's done this. It's Mike Tomlin. It's a Mike Tomlin thing. Najee Harris, I wrote about it in the blurb. We've talked about if ETN landed here, how we'd have concerns. But Najee Harris last year, second in the nation in missed tackles forced, second in yards after contact. And then the pass-catching upside, yeah, we know Pittsburgh wants to run the football more this year and more effectively, but if they still are top five in pass attempts and throw the ball 600-plus times, Najee Harris is an incredibly fluid, natural pass catcher with a legitimate catch radius that he can catch 50, 60 balls in this offense. And, like, for me, he's my running back 14 in my first batch of rankings. He's my running back 14 right behind Antonio Gibson and Joe Mixon and Cam Akers. He's not going to... especially because it's not quite the same offense, he's not going to have this meteoric rise in terms of ADP and stuff that we saw from Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year. Like, he's not going to be a first-round pick, I don't think.
No.
But I would feel really good about Najee Harris if I go, I would say he'll probably be a second-round pick by the end of the summer. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I think it's warranted.
I think he's going to give anywhere in that second round. I think he could go anywhere from the late to the middle to the beginning of it. It just really depends on how thirsty people get for running backs the closer we get to the season. And I look, We talked about this, Adam. We talked about early targets for best ball. We were discussing this beforehand in these large field tournaments for underdog.
Have fun with that ADP rise.
Dude, we talked about this. Like, you needed to get your Najee Harris exposure then. He was RB19, RB20, RB21. And as soon as he went in the first round, he was going to go up. And he's going to be a top 15 back based off of volume. The other thing, Adam, we've talked about it. Roethlisberger, they're going to throw a ton. Adam, I'm going to swing this back to you. At this stage of his career, can Ben Roethlisberger throw farther than 7 yards down the field?
Both the tape and the numbers would suggest no.
So, Najee Harris is going to eat. He's going to get a ton of targets, dude. He is going to eat, and he's going to be fantastic in whatever format because he's got the size to be the goal line back. He's got the pass-catching acumen to play all three downs, and it doesn't matter. You know, we talked about, go back to listen to the prospect profile. I talked about his blocking. It don't freaking matter in Pittsburgh.
Well, here's the other thing, right?
He's not going to be asked to block. He's going to be running outs. Thing.
We got a report from, Bill Callahan of the Bengals saying Joe Mixon's not coming off the field. Why is nobody talking about their offensive line? They didn't draft Penei Sewell. Joe Mixon's going to get, 25 touches a game, but Najee's going to get, 20 a game, and he's going to catch the ball the same, if not more, than Joe Mixon.
I'll take Najee over Joe Mixon. I'll say it right now.
I have them back to back right now. Mixon's 13, Najee's 14. But
I will take Najee over Joe Mixon. Absolutely.
It's super close for me. I'm just saying, does offensive line matter? Absolutely. But it matters more for certain running backs. And it doesn't matter when a guy gets drafted in the first round at running back on a team that could have addressed the offensive line. And they said, you know what? We like this player so much, and we're going to give him the football. And if he didn't, if Najee Harris didn't catch passes at all, okay, maybe you worry about the offensive line. He's going to catch 50 balls this year. I don't care. I don't care about the offensive line. And I tentatively put him at 14. I could easily see myself in a couple months or weeks putting him over Mixon, over Antonio Gibson, and close your ears, and Cam Akers.
He is in that range. He's in that tier. And where you want to slot him is up to you. But I'm telling you, he's going to get volume, man. And we've seen tons of concerns out of Joe Mixon. And everyone wants to buy into three down Joe Mixon, dude. Cincinnati could still run Samaje Perine's butt out there. They could still run Chris Evans on passing downs. Just because Gio's out of there doesn't mean that they can't do some harebrained kind of wild stuff and get another back involved. That can still happen, man. So that, and we are projecting a little bit for Antonio Gibson to make that next step, for him to be the three-down guy. We are projecting there a good bit, you know? So, yes, I'm with you. Najee is going to be a three-down dude. Pittsburgh has shown us that year after 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 year. They want one guy, and they just spent up a first-round pick on that guy. So he's going to get freaking work, man. It's going to happen, man. Moving on to the guy that went right behind him, Travis Etienne landing with Jacksonville. I told you.
The bells.
Told you. I told you it could happen. Go back and listen to the Dynasty Stock Market episode, people. I've been preaching this all freaking offseason, and all the James Robinson truthers never, ever, ever want to hear it. They still don't want to hear it. They still want to quote coach speak. And we're going to run a three-way committee. And James Robinson and Carlos Hyde and Travis Etienne are all going to get time. And we draft Travis to be the third down back. In the first round? No, you didn't. Shut up. That's not the case. That's not what's going to happen.
Urban Meyer, if you want a third down back, you could have drafted Michael Carter in the fourth. Or Kenneth Gainwell, who for some reason didn't go till the fifth or sixth. You're a liar, sir. You sit on a throne of lies. come on, dude.
God, people doing backflips just to sit here and try to confirm their priors.
You know that this running back draft class had three guys that everybody loved, and then there was a drop-off. Etienne was one of the three. You took him 25th overall. James Robinson, he's still going to play. But come on, you're not playing ETN 30 snaps a game or 30% of the snaps. It's just not happening.
No, it's not.
So the obvious, obviously, is this crushes James Robinson. Like, absolutely crushes him. To the point where...
It crushes
where
him, dude.
You can't do... In Dynasty, so I have to thank you. I traded him away 3 weeks ago. And the guy that I traded James Robinson to, one of my buddies, he texted me and goes... I think he texted me and just said, "Get out of here, Travis." but now, like, if you didn't, like, you can't do anything in Dynasty with James Robinson. You have to just hold him. Nobody's going to take him.
Nobody's going to take him, dude. I mean, beforehand, we were talking about, could you get a late first for James Robinson? People are like, "Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not doing it unless I get a top five pick or middle round pick." All right, how's that working out now? How's that working out? Would you take your first now? Well, of course you would. Would you take a second now? Well, of course you would. Good luck trying to get that now. You're not getting it.
It's rough. Like, how do we view this backfield in fantasy now? Because that comment from Urban Meyer is definitely not what we want. I still think James Robinson is going to open the season as the quote-unquote starter. But this seems like a situation where by, like, November, ETN's getting 15 to 18 touches a game. Maybe James Robinson continues to get the goal line work, but I don't know, man. Like, you pair him with Trevor Lawrence, who's the future of your franchise, the guy's going to be on the field. Not to mention he's extremely talented. And Urban Meyer, since he joined Jacksonville, he's talked like, I want to play with a fast offense that has a lot of speed and versatility. And, like, as much as I like James Robinson as a player, like, he's not anywhere close to the athlete that Travis Etienne is, so...
I was going to say, that entire description is not James Robinson, and I'm not crapping on him as a player. I've stated that from the very beginning. James Robinson is a good running back. But guess what? This NFL team don't care about us in fantasy. This NFL team don't care about any of that. Urban Meyer wants his guys. And you can't rule out changing a head coaching staff and a guy that has no insulation of multiple years of production or the draft capital to insulate him through the draft. How many different times we got to see this, Adam? Like, how many different times do we have to see this happen to players? You know, the Philip Lindsay's of the world, and then teams sign free agents, they draft guys, the Marlon Macks of the world. You know, like, this happens year over year, and no, those are not perfect comparisons, but this is all to say that these high draft capital running backs get opportunities. They get chances. And that insulates them through coaching changes and things of that nature, man. Like, so I'm not going to sit here and argue with people. You go stare at a wall and argue with the wall. I'm not going to argue about running backs do or do not matter. I'm also not going to argue with anybody about James Robinson being a good player or not being a good player. Okay? I'm just not doing it. Because the fact of the matter is, Jacksonville told us what they think of Travis Etienne. And that they love him, apparently. Like, they spent a first freaking round pick on him.
They clearly showed us that how much they like Etienne, and they're a team that won one game last year and clearly has multiple holes on their roster that they needed to address, and they still went running back at 25.
Yeah, man. Well, the other thing about it is that they had seven picks inside the top four rounds. We discussed this. You know, I mean, so they were able to still address it. So pairing a quarterback with a running back who is a pass catcher, and you're looking at trying to solidify the core, like, they didn't need a wide receiver. Their offensive line, and people keep talking about, like, okay, who have they gotten at that point? I can make a good case to you that the edge class had dropped off some at that point, because I'm not as high on Rousseau as other people are. And could they have gone away? Could they have gone other ways? Could they have gone, like, the offensive line was not the problem last year. It is not the problem now. And where the talent was at that point in the draft, could they have traded back? Could they have gone other directions? Yes, we could talk about that for days. But pairing a quarterback with Travis Etienne at the very last, because they didn't draft in top 15, they didn't draft in top 12. He went in the back half of the first round. And if a team wants to get that type of certainty and a fifth-year option out of a guy, you can go argue with your wall again. I'm not going to sit here and debate running backs do or do not matter and spending first-round capital on it. I'm just not.
Before we get to the last player from the first round, how would you view, like, where would you rank ETN in terms of, like, redraft running backs, and where would you rank James Robinson? Because I think a lot of people are kind of confused on what to make of these two right now.
Oh, that's a good question, man. I think that ETN has to be, at the very, very floor, has to be a top 36 guy. Because I think his pass catching is going to allow that, and the upside is there.
I think I have him at like 27 right now.
I think that's a good spot. I really do. I think that, I mean, looking at all the other running backs, like once you get into the mid-20s and stuff like that, I think there's enough guys with workloads and people like Chase Edmonds that we can convince ourselves, okay, they're top 24 guys. ETN's going to fall somewhere in that high-end flex range for me with upside, dude. I mean,
yeah, I have him behind like Edmonds and still just behind Melvin Gordon. We'll talk about that. And behind Mike Davis. And just he's like in the Kareem Hunt range for me.
And that's a good spot for him because I think it's a good way to view him right now. I think he's going to have a role from day one. The question is not he going to have a role. It's how much of a role. And I think he's going to walk into 10 to 12 touches week one. And if he blows the roof off the place, the volume's going to go up, dude. So with Travis Etienne, I view him as pretty much like DeAndre Swift's situation last year, but a little bit better because of the capital they put behind him. That's the closest I can get with trying to give somebody an estimation of how I view him, at least right now.
Yeah, and DeAndre Swift, we saw down the stretch, was really good in fantasy, you know, once he got to work. And I think we could see a similar situation happen with Travis Etienne, you know, November, whatever, like down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, man. All right, on to the last guy for this first round recap. Rashad Bateman landed at 27 in the Baltimore Ravens, and we were talking about picks that people are going to poo-poo, and they're going to hate it, and they're not going to want it, and they're going to talk about Lamar Jackson can't throw and all this other kind of stuff, and the Ravens don't pass. I'm not going to fade Rashad Bateman off of this, dude. I'm really not. I discussed about why I was already worried about Mark Andrews on our Dynasty Stock Market episode. Go back and check that out. I think Bateman's ADP is not going to creep up high enough to sit here and make him a total fade. Are there passing attempt concerns? Yes. Is there also a scenario, because people talked about this, and I'm not going to make the one-for-one comparison with Buffalo, but you look at Lamar Jackson. If they were to get into the lower 20s as far as passing attempts and neutral passing rates, this is a team that could easily add 80 to 90 passing attempts. And if that's going to be the case, Rashad Bateman could get more volume. And if he's as good as we talk about Adam, he could steal volume away from other guys too. Like, we know that J.K. Dobbins and these running backs are not going to get a ton of targets in the passing game, so he ain't taking targets there. But getting targets from Mark Andrews, Marquise Brown, Willie Snead's gone. Like, there is volume to be had in this offense, and I'm not sitting here telling you that he's going to be a 120-target guy in his rookie season. What I am saying is that Rashad Bateman is damn good at football, and Baltimore could throw the ball. Don't come at me with, like, show me pass attempts for the past two seasons. I am not here to sit here and be like, okay, well, every single season the NFL is going to be like the prior one, right, Adam? Like, that's what's going to happen. What we saw previously is what's going to happen to this year. That's exactly what we should sit here and project forward for every single season, because that's all we've seen, and it couldn't change.
If that was the case, Josh Allen's the greatest quarterback ever, and then I'd be really happy, but that's not what... Damn it. But I agree, though. Like, would I have liked to see Rashad Bateman go to Tennessee? Yeah, absolutely. But... And, like, it would be different if Baltimore didn't trade Orlando Brown and get that second first-round pick from Kansas City, because once that happened, everybody knew they were going receiver with one of those picks. Everybody. But if they still only had the one first-round pick and then still took Rashad Bateman over an edge or something like that, then I would kind of be like, okay, maybe that's a sign that they're going to, you know, lean on the pass a little bit more. But still, even if they don't, like... Rashad Bateman is not going to be in the realm of targets with Devonta Smith and Jamar Chase. Nobody's saying that. But I do agree with you that, like, this isn't like a complete, just total, you know, train wreck situation for Rashad Bateman. It's not the most appealing for fantasy because Baltimore's not going to go from, you know, 480 pass attempts to 630. That's just not happening ever.
Yeah.
But, like, talent can win out. We've seen it. I'm still – I'm not as high as Rashad Bateman for fantasy as I could have been.
I'll ask you that. Could they go to 490? Could they go to 500? Is that in the – exactly. Like, that could happen, man. Like, I that's the whole thing. And people want to come at me and they're like, well, you know Lamar Jackson's – this has been historically low. Okay, so last 2 years of history, you're expecting historical low marks to continue. That's what you're telling me. Historically low passing attempts is going to continue. 401, 376 the last two seasons. That's going to continue. So you're going to side with historical lows as your pulpit? Like, that's what you're shouting to me?
Let me ask you this. Would you be shocked if he out-targeted Marquise Brown?
No!
Because I wouldn't, because we saw so often last year Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown struggle to get on the same page in the deep ball. Rashad Bateman doesn't win on the deep ball. He's an intermediate guy with great release, great route running. That could lead to him just seeing more targets than Hollywood Brown based off where Lamar Jackson feels more comfortable throwing the football. Like, Mark Andrews is still somebody we project to lead this team in targets. I don't think we're getting too far off that, but... If Hollywood Brown finished with fewer targets than Rashad Bateman in this upcoming season, I don't think anybody should be surprised.
Dude, Marquise Brown finished with 100 targets last year. He finished with 100 targets. I think Rashad Bateman is all the way around a better wide receiver than Marquise Brown. I think Marquise Brown was miscast. So if I think that, I think he could steal this role. And you're talking about Tennessee. Would you have liked to see him there? The other thing about the Tennessee landing spot is he going to be the one there over A.J. Brown? Probably not. We're guessing not. I mean, maybe the 1B. Who knows?
Wait, did you say Bateman would probably not be the one over? That's a definitive hell no, first of all.
Okay, then that's fine. Can he be the unquestioned number one option in Baltimore? Can that happen? And Marquise Brown got 100 targets last year, and we're saying that Bateman can't. People got to pick the right narrative. So they need to sit here and explain this to me like I'm freaking 5 years old. Because I don't understand, if you're going to take all these different sides, how does this all still equate to Rashad Bateman can't get 100 targets? Explain this to me, Adam.
I think he can get more targets than Hollywood Brown. So in that case, I do think he can get 100 targets. We'll talk about these next two players on the day two and day three, or rounds two and three recap pod. But let me close it with this. Rank these three in terms of fantasy for 2021: Rashad Bateman, Terrace Marshall, and my guy, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh,
it's a good question.
It's a really good question. I mean, they're all near. Okay. I'm going to go Bateman as one.
Okay.
I'm going to go Amon-Ra as number two.
Wow.
I'm doing it, dude. We're going to get into it. If everybody wants to hear the full insight into why I think that, you got to go check out the day two recap. Adam and I are going to dive into all of this, these picks, where we sit, and dice this up, man, because there are so many interesting landing spots, and everybody needs to be checking it out, man. So, again, all these rookies, all these landing spots, you've got to be heading over to underdogfantasy.com. Get into their drafts today. Best Ball Mania is back, baby! Woo! I'm already in the large field tournament, firing off shots every single day. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. Get in these tournaments. It is fantastic action, man. And to take advantage of all these soft ADPs before everybody wakes up. Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to be talking about day two recaps for Fade the Chalk. We are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.